On today's Zone Daily Podcast, Titans fans, you made it. Titans training camp, real, actual American tackle football is here. And with me to talk about it today is Rhett Bryant, executive producer of Titans Radio, a good friend of mine. We're going to run through it all. All the headlines you need, all of the storylines that we're going to be paying attention to at training camp starting today, plus if this is the most star-studded training camp in Titans history. Rhett's been to a lot of Titans training camps. He's going to answer that question towards the end of today's show. A very special Wednesday edition of the Zone Daily Podcast, and it starts right now.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast with Will Bowling.
It is the Zone Daily Podcast. It is training camp week. Of course, as always, I'm Will Bowling, joined by Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio here today for your Wednesday morning, your Wednesday commute, whenever that might be. Rhett, Mike Vrabel talks to the media yesterday. Titans players will hit the practice field today. It is the most wonderful time of the year. How are you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm great because, yes, it's like the first day of school. If you really liked school, couldn't wait to see your friends that you didn't see over the summer. And it's really about a million times north of that because you're talking about the most prolific running back in the NFL, arguably. You can have your Dalvin Cooks and Alvin Kamaras. I get all of that with the Christian McCaffreys. But the true hammer, old school way back is certainly Derrick Henry. And you have Ryan Tannehill, who has built a nice platform of performances in 25 or 30 games as starter. And then now you have added Julio Jones to go with a healthy A.J. Brown, who is not on a PUP or a NFI list or whatever. It's really good stuff. And so the vibe is there. Tuesday was a good press availability with Coach Vrabel. You could tell he was thrilled to be there. He was glad to see us, which is a rare thing.
That's true. I was going to say,
it was the first in-person thing in about 18 months.
It's as good of a mood as I've seen him in for a press conference.
Yeah, you can tell he has that type of energy in this whole thing. And so Tuesday at 11:30, he spoke. And on my way to the back porch, as we call it, the covered area where the availability is, the press conference, you go by the weight room. And if you've ever been to St. Thomas Sports Park, you'll see they have these garage doors that lift up so that the people inside working out or rehabbing to get back and see their teammates on the field. Anyway, I walk past Taylor DeJuan. Taylor DeJuan is like a kid in a candy store. He is so excited to be. I mean, he pointed, hey, come here, man. What's up? Hey, man, I'm so glad to see you guys. And he's just so fired up, and he knows that, losing him early on in the season with an ACL, he's fully back. He is not on a PUP list or any of that stuff, so that's huge in terms of this line. I talked to him about his new hot rod pickup truck that he has that I saw in the parking garage the day before. It looks like an early 70s model F-100 Ranger that's really nice. Said it took about 18 months to get that done. A local company did that for him. And just had a brief chat with him, and just the energy and the vibe is there. And then one of the things I took away from Mike Vrabel's press conference is the participation, first of all. He said about 30 guys came in Saturday, a lot of those the first-year rookies and undrafteds and the like, and the rest were all there on Tuesday. So everybody's there. And he talked about and was complimentary of Taylor DeJuan and a Roger Saffold, who were back in the building a couple of days early, itching to get at it, and helping a young guy like second-rounder Dylan Radins, who a lot of us think will be the right tackle on this football team, either early on or not too far down the road for sure.
Well, I was going to say, too, once you mentioned LaJuan and mentioned the good vibes with him, he's got to be happy to have a new guy to kind of bring under his wing in Dylan Radins, who I think we all expect to contribute pretty early and often. And, I think a lot of us thought, when he was picked last year in the second round, a lot of our first thoughts were, that this is a guy that's going to spend a lot of time with Taylor DeJuan if he is a guy that's available from day one of training camp. As much time as those two can spend together is a very good thing, which really underscores the value of Lawan being available for day one of training camp.
And the other veteran in, you know, 33-year-old Roger Saffold at left guard, who, you know, who you hope has a whole lot more left in the tank for the 2021 season, as a, you know, certainly if you're a Titans fan. But yeah, you guys that have been there and done that. And I think going back to your point about Lawan, I don't know that he necessarily had that when he came in 2014 because the team was in a bad spot. They'd lost a lot of games. The roster is night and day different from what it was when he came in. And, you know, he's brought in because Michael Roos, you know, is getting towards the end. And I think he and Michael Roos were fine, but I just don't think he got that mentoring process. And the fact that he wants to reciprocate that and to convey that, foster that, if you will, to a young guy, shows me his development as a veteran in this thing and sees the value and the importance of that. But yeah, that's huge to be able to go ahead and start mentoring a guy that is going to be counted on by this O-line for sure. And then, you know, I'm sure Ben Jones will be a big part of that as another veteran on this D-line. And then you got Nate Davis, who is coming into year three.
Steady.
And maybe your best lineman last year overall. I look for him to make a lot of those preseason lists like we've seen over the summer at his position. He's done very well at the guard spot. So I like the O-line. That's, you know, kind of the where my eyes are drawing towards is the big man in this. Dylan Radins is one. And I'm watching the D-line, and I'm also watching Rashad Weaver.
Yeah.
Rashad Weaver showed me some things in rookie minicamp, OTAs, and those things. He's shown some versatility that I think we're going to enjoy there. So I'm got my eye on the big men. Tyre Tarte on the D-line. He's a guy that's got to take another step forward to play with Big Jeff and those guys up front. I'm very excited to see more of Danico Autry. Obviously, Julio Jones, Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, who flew all over the place in OTAs. There's plenty of things to watch in this. But I think one of the more intriguing things is the battle at the backup quarterback spot.
Right.
So Logan Woodside didn't really have any experience. And it's been a while. It's been about 2 years since DeShone Kizer has had that. DeShone Kizer had a nice offseason.
Right.
Really nice. So I'm interested to see what happens there. In fact, Coach Vrabel said in that availability on Tuesday that both of those guys will see a lot of work because it's now three preseason games and 17 regular season games, and they will have work and reps with guys that are anticipated by John Robinson and he to make the roster, and then the guys that will be reserves and to help out to get through the preseason to get up to the regular season that maybe aren't on the roster. So reserves and subs and starters, too. They're both going to get some chances to show what they can do.
That defensive line and the secondary and the way those two work together is so fascinating about this defense, because to me, John Robinson has made a bet that this defensive back group, this secondary, is better than it was last year with a lot more help up front. That help is Danico Autry. It's Bud Dupree when he's on the practice field. It's Rashad Weaver, in some ways, as a guy that's going to be a heavy part of that pass rush rotation. You mentioned defensive line. You mentioned the secondary. Those are the two most interesting groups for me in this entire training camp, because I think as the young Titans defensive backs go, this Titans defense is going to go as well this season.
And you know, there's, I think, eight guys, maybe nine guys in the D-line that are in camp right now. You know, Avery Jones retired the other day, the former Jaguar. But, you know, you think there's probably going to be five of those that make the roster, I think. So, you know, Big Jeff's there.
Right.
You feel pretty certain that a Tyre Tarte is there, although he's got to keep churning. Danico Autry's there. Rashad Weaver's there. So, and don't forget Larrell Murchison, who they took in the fifth round the year before from NC State, who started to make some plays down the stretch in this, has got some things that he needs to bring to the table and prove. But yeah, those are simpatico if things are working right. If you're getting pressure up front, you're going to get some gift-wrapped interceptions and things on the back end. And I'll take you back several years ago to when Albert Haynesworth was on that D-line in contract years, two of the most dominating seasons I've ever seen by a large defensive lineman in Titans history, for sure. And because of the havoc he wreaked up front with a Kyle VandenBosch and those guys, I'm not discrediting any of them. But this is, you know, why Michael Griffin in his rookie year goes to the Pro Bowl. He had 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just the walls are caving in.
Right.
So that's what you hope happens in this. And you're right. The secondary is huge story in this, because that is one of the main things that was an overhaul in this defense. As gone are Kenny Vaccaro, gone is Malcolm Butler, and you have a second-year guy that you took in round 2 in 2020 in Christian Fulton from LSU, who's lost a lot of time due to injury. And you've doubled down and gotten Caleb Farley, who, if the back is good, I know he's on one of those lists right now, but should have been maybe the top cornerback in the draft. And and you got an Amani Hooker now in year 3 that needs to take a step forward, because Amani Hooker is going to start opposite Kevin Byard in this thing. So, and then you pepper in Janoris Jenkins and also an Elijah Molden that you drafted from Washington. So, yeah, that is a huge focal point. I think a lot of folks in the media corps are going to be watching how that secondary takes place and takes shape, I should say. And I want to see more of what Darrington Evans is going to be like in year 2, while we're talking about Christian Fulton, who also lost time due to injury. And based on what I saw in OTAs and stuff, I think that's going to be all right there. I like what I saw from Darrington Evans. So there's just a million storylines. You can dice them up any way you want. But, yes, that D-line, the secondary, right tackle spot on the offensive line, guys coming back from injury, when a Bud Dupree comes back, when Caleb Farley comes off of the list, all of those things are really important in all this. And I think the other things that, you know, were brought up in the availability with Mike Vrabel on Tuesday is the battle for kicker with Blake Hauble from Ohio State, who's undrafted, and then Tucker McCann, who they had last year, who they liked and got hurt. I think he tore a hamstring and was unavailable down the stretch. There's a battle there, and how long that goes and what happens there as to whether they bring in a vet or whatever, we'll see what takes place there. And then I think the depth spot at the tight end position, that's been a topic all summer. Is Anthony Firkser tight end number 1? We're going to see. And if he is, who's behind him?
Right.
You know, Jeff Swaim did a nice job for the Titans last year. But who is it after that steps forward in this? Or is there somebody outside that they drag in as cuts are made and you head towards, you know, September the 12th against the Arizona Cardinals to start week 1? I know I'm rambling in this, but that's what's so exciting about Titans training camp is you can already see the storylines unfurl right in front of you, and you knock on wood that, you know, injuries are at a minimum. And certainly the way they approach this preseason is going to be much different from any other, because there's a 17-game regular season schedule. And I think Mike Vrabel, Todd Torricelli, Frank Perino, the strength and conditioning coach, and the staff do a really good job of working with off-schedule stuff and load management, snap counts, you know, making sure that guys don't overdo it. Because you're going to see a lot of practices, I would imagine, where you don't always see A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. You don't always see Derrick Henry. You don't always see Taylor Lewan, especially those older guys. They're going to get some rest days involved in this. And it's hotter than the blazes. Right. So, yeah. So I think that's the other thing from this is seeing how they operate training camp with a new schedule in 3 preseason games and 17 regular season games, and basically a bye week to start the season after camp is broken and rosters are decided.
This is all good stuff, and I've just got one more thing, because we could spend an entire podcast on just one of those position groups, so it's great to kind of get a broad view of all of it as practice kicks off today. Can you ever remember a training camp with this many superstars on day 1?
I mean, you'd have to go back to the Gen 1 Titans.
It's incredible. I mean, just looking
with
around.
Frank and Eddie and Steve and Javon and that stuff, but gosh, I think this is a bigger deal.
Right.
Because, I mean, and look, for those listening to this daily podcast, I know if you're a Titans fan, they don't get the respect that they deserve.
Right.
I get all that.
Right.
please remember, it is the television market which we are in, which is a lot better than it used to be. We used to be 42nd market. Now it's in the top 25. But we're not in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Dallas. So it's just going to be that way until they get into the playoffs, get deep into the playoffs, and play for something meaningful. But you have Derrick Henry that I talked about to when we started this. You have Julio Jones, probably one of the best receivers of the last 10 years in the National Football League. A.J. Brown, who is a superstar in the making.
It's two top 10 guys right there at the wide receiver.
And A.J. Brown, who played on two bad knees with meniscus problems and still had a Pro Bowl year.
Right.
And then, you know, Ryan Tannehill, again, with the lack of respect. Look, he's just not going to get it unless he just lights everything up. Mm-hmm. And he's done so well since he was traded to the Titans in all of this. And so, you know, you put all that together, and then Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is the star on defense that maybe not Javon Kearse level, because that wasn't how his rookie year started. You know, it was coming off the ACL and pre-draft workouts, but I think he can be a huge, huge name. He's going to be one of the better big men in this game, and I think where that measuring stick for him starts in terms of taking the next step is getting those quarterback sack numbers, as he is just caving things in, because you have a Danico Autry and some of these other guys. Mm-hmm. You could see where he is taken on single team, not double team. And I'm sorry, I don't know that there's an offensive lineman that can handle why they call Big Jeff Big Jeff one-on-one.
Right.
I'm not slighting Quentin Nelson or whoever else is out there. That is a monstrously mountain of a man, and I think he is a guy that could be a household name if the season goes right for the Titans on defense. It's all about improving third down numbers, but yet staying way ahead of the giveaway, takeaway, turnover game, which they were really good in last year.